It is a beautiful but rather cold and wet weather outside, and let us hope that the conversation we are going to have tonight, it is going to be empowering. The conversation for tonight is simple. What is a father? If you are like me and you have been paying attention to everything that's been happening, especially around the idea of wokeness that has been happening, where there's an influence towards, you know, changing or confusing the identity of men, let alone the identity of everyone else, including children, then you will know and realize that we need to have a specific direction. We need to know where and how do we find our identity. How can we define ourselves? Because this is why I'm asking. This is why this topic is important. It is important because when you meet someone, depending on where they are in their life, and you ask them, firstly, what is a man? They will tell you what they expect from a man, not necessarily what truly a man is in the objective sense. So everyone's definition of what is a man will always be subjective. It will never be objective. And so it is very important that we seek and find a source for defining who we really are as men, as people. Because once we find the right source, then we are able to move forward, knowing very well where we got our knowledge from. And as believers and as Christians, it is very important that you and I go to the source of who we are. And that source is none other than God. But God has given us or has blessed us with a constitution for how we need to conduct ourselves on this earth. And that constitution is the Bible. And then on top of that, God has given us the blessing of the Holy Spirit, with whom we can fellowship, with whom we can walk this journey of our lives. And when we do that, when we submit ourselves to Him, then we get to find the right path. Then we get to discover the true identity of who we are. And therefore, this is why this topic is important. Now, there has also been this narrative, and I don't even want to say rightly so, but every time and every year when we get to Mother's Day and Father's Day, the Mother's Day celebrations, they will go on very nicely and mothers will be celebrated, no hiccups. But come Father's Day, what I have often observed is that there will always be those who say Happy Father's Day to my mother, because the mother played the role, well, seemingly played the role of a father. But in essence, no father can ever play the role of a mother, and no mother can ever play the role of a father, because God is not confused. God knows who He is. God knows why He created you and I. God knows why He separated man and woman, so that these two people can walk together, can also fellowship together, and why a husband and a wife need to come together in marriage and the two become one. There is a purpose. So I don't want to belabor the introduction to this point, or to this topic rather, but I do want to then get you into this understanding. And if the Bible says it, then so it is. And let me caution against something. Sometimes the Bible states facts and truth as they happened. Chief among those is when David saw Bathsheba, and then he called for her, and then he, what's the word? He indulged himself with her, and later on plotted to kill her husband. It does not mean that that is what we need to follow. However, it is stating how David was misled, or David, it's how King David got to sin against God, but also the things that we need to be careful about. Now, with that said, when the Bible says it, then it is so. In Psalm 103 verse 13, it says, as a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. Why is that important? It is a quality of a father. A father must show compassion to his children, because that's what God does. And it is interesting that we as fathers share the same name as God. God says he is our father, as testified by Jesus Christ. And because he said that, therefore it is. So there are some people who then come and say, yeah, but God is a she, because they want to drive a particular narrative. And if you fall into that narrative, then you are misled, because there's no way in the Bible where God calls himself a she. So God is clear. I am a father. And Jesus comes and says, my father. John 1 tells us who Jesus is. Jesus was the Word, and the Word was with God, and that Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And therefore, let us not be confused. There are so many things in this day, at this day and age, that seek to confuse us, but they're confusing our identity. So let us then go deeper into fatherhood. What is a father? Not who. Because when we say who, we are then seeking to find a person that we can model and say, this is a father. We are looking for somebody that we can point to. But when we say, what is a father? We are looking to define who or what a father is, rather. And there's no better place than to look to the Bible, because that's where we find our source. Right? That's where we find our source. So stay with me. Israel is my firstborn son. Now, God says, Israel is my firstborn son. Therefore, Israel is who? Israel is a male. Israel is a son. Sometimes the word son does not refer specifically to gender, but to the relation or to the spirit person that we are to God. And so what we then get to learn is that God claims Israel as his son, but it did not start with Israel. It started with Abraham. And therefore the story is told starting with Abraham, in terms of choosing the tribe of Israel and the blessing that God then bestows upon us who become adoptive children. So God then becomes the protector. God disciples, and God disciplines, and God provides identity. If God provides protection, if God provides discipline, if God is a disciples his children, if God provides identity, therefore a father in the small letter F, meaning the human father, is therefore required to be all of those things. He must be a protector. He must be a disciplinarian. He must be the one who disciples. That means he teaches and grooms his children. And he must provide identity, or he must give identity to his children. And when we look at the word Abba, It is a word that is akin to daddy, but it is daddy in the sense of reverence, not just some babbling, but it is daddy. When a child calls you daddy, I'm sure it's warmed your heart. And we have so many names that we put, that we give to fathers: daddy, papa, ba, baba, and daddy. Some time ago, actually very, very long time ago, when I was much younger, I was watching TV, and around 6 o'clock, this program came where this man was teaching, and then he happened to talk about fatherhood, and he was talking about the father, and then he says, this word in Sesotho that says ntate, it actually means cover me, take me and cover me, denoting protection, providence of a father. And that stuck with me ever since then. Sidebar. It's actually interesting when I think about it now that the topic around fatherhood has resonated with me. Fatherhood in men has resonated with me from such a very early age, and it's something that I've kept. And even to this day, it's something that I'm passionate about. But nonetheless, let's get back to our topic. Now, God has modeled certain things to us fathers. I'm talking to fathers. And if you've never had a father in your life, I want you to look at God as the father. And then from there, map who God is into your life and relate to him in that sense of him being your father. And sometimes God allows certain things to happen to our fathers so that he can also step in, because he knows things that we do not know. He does not cause them to be absent. He does not cause them to die. But he takes a situation and then he uses it for his good, or actually for our good. And that's what God does. Think of God as a compassionate father. And therefore, expect your earthly father to also be compassionate. If your father falls short of all of these qualities, it means he does not have a relationship with God. Because once he has a relationship with God, he will then derive his identity and his nature from God. And that is what he is going to give to you. And that is what you are going to experience from him. Hebrews 12, verse 7 to 11 tells us that God disciples his children as a father, right? Not to harm, but to develop holiness. And what does that look like today for an earthly father? It means that we need to train up our children in the way that they should go, so that when they are older, they will not depart from that path. And then another thing. You remember the story of the prodigal son, how the father gave the son the inheritance that he claimed was due to him. And then when he came back, the father ran to him. And that tells us the identity or the quality of a father. That father is portrayed as patient because he patiently waited. He was patient with his son. He was gracious. He was forgiving, which gives us a picture of divine mercy. And that is what a father is. And over and above everything, a father is a disciplinarian. When a father disciplines, you will think that he's being harsh. But a father knows how a child should be, what a child should look forward to in their lives. It's almost as if a father has a picture of where he wants the child to be. And then right now, he then takes a rod of correction and he just drives out all this foolishness that is in the heart of a child. Because he wants the child to be refined and ready for what life is going to throw at them. So the human fatherhood in scripture, we also need to trace that and find that. And where else can we find it except in Deuteronomy? Let's try this again. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6 to 9. Fathers are instructed instruction. Fathers are instructed to teach God's commandments to their children diligently. And then Paul comes and commands. He doesn't ask. He doesn't suggest. He commands fathers to bring up children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And then again, a scripture that I referred to, Proverbs 22, verse 6, train up a child in the way that they should go. So as you can see, the training up and the grooming and the raising of a child is not just a mother's role. Yes, a mother plays a very big role. And I want us, as we listen and as we engage this conversation, consider the subject of the conversation. The subject is the father. So let us not at any point say, but what about the mother? Or seek to bring the mother into the picture, because there will be a time for mothers. But the topic and the subject right now is the father. So let us stick to that. It is not because we are ignoring what mothers do and the role that mothers play. The focus is on the father. I love to go and look at words and kind of find the meaning, define them, and the historical context. Now, when we look at the word father, it means source. As you would know, the father of faith, or the father of science, and the father of this, it means that is the source, that is the origin. So father means or suggests source, origin, but also sustainer and protector. So the father sustains, the father protects, the father gives the origin identity of the child or children in the family. And once we get to understand that as fathers, we are able to step into our role as fathers without any confusion, because now we know exactly what is expected of us. It is very important for us as fathers to know and know what is expected of us, to know who we are, to know what is expected, to know the role that we must play in our children's lives. And as fathers, we must, and I am going to use the word must intentionally, because it needs to be clear that this is a non-negotiable. So we must reflect God's character. And what's God's character? God is loving. God is holy. God is merciful. God is a God of justice. And therefore, as fathers, we must show love. We must be loving. We must be holy. We must be merciful. And we must be just. And we must lead and disciple children towards God's purposes, not our own. Because we need to separate ourselves, die to ourselves, so that God's will can be done in our lives. And once God's will is done, and once we understand what God expects from us, we are able to lead our children. And we are also, we must live out a covenant fidelity, not just familial presence. So we must stay the course. We must not be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine that comes along. We must mirror the love of Christ, the sacrificial, consistent, nurturing love of Christ. So fathers are stewards under God. Fathers are stewards under God. So a father is not merely just a provider or protector. He is the spiritual guide in the home. He is a covenantal leader. He is an image bearer of God's fatherhood. Let me repeat that. A father is an image bearer of God's fatherhood. Human fathers, although yes, we are flawed, but we are meant to reflect and participate in the divine work of formation, instruction, love, and discipline. And if you hear the common thread that is consistent with a father is discipline. Discipline must be there, but not in the absence of love. And discipline is not random, and discipline should never be out of anger. But discipline must be from love with the intention to correct. And when we do that, we start then to show that we understand who we are. We start to show that we understand that as fathers, we have been divinely appointed by God to come into the space, to come into life, and then take up our places. And it is my prayer that as you listen, and in your life, you've never had a father, that you seek God's face and ask Him to show you the fatherhood side of Him. And then you sit with it. You allow yourselves to sit with it. You go through these points and you look for that in God. And then you start to relate to God in that sense of Him being a father, rather than just this deity that is just put out there, where people get to confuse God for a universe and then they say, I'm praying to God and universe, there is no such thing. But we learn to look at God as the Father, as the source, as the sustainer, as the protector, as the provider. And if in your life, your human father has so many flaws, learn to see the God in him. And start to call out the godliness out of him, so that he one day realizes that there is something that these people see within me. And if you are a father who has been rejected, who is going through pain, hey, God says he is a father of fathers. He is a king of kings. So go to God and receive your nourishment. Because sometimes as a father, people come to you, your wife comes to you, your children come to you, and they are looking to you for comfort, for protection. But where do you go? You go to God. And don't think that God is impractical. God is very much practical. And God understands where we need to go. God understands who we are and what needs to happen in our lives. And so, friend, I want you tonight to go back and think about what is a father. And then you look at all the qualities that God has. And then you start to model, and then you start to relate to God in that sense. This is Zibusa El Gunene. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.